Hello guys, good evening and welcome to another episode of The Oge Show. My name is Ogechi, your beautiful host. Yes, I know, I'm beautiful, thank you. Anyway, today on the show, our topic is Ashawo na work. In other terms, is prostitution a profession? Ashawo is actually a street term used to describe prostitutes or people who engage in sex work in Nigeria. And we're going to define prostitution, causes of prostitution, and then go into the pros and cons of legitimizing prostitution. So today on the show, to have this discussion with me, it's Onyeka Chimelo. Onyeka Chimelo is the author of Igwe Ship in Oba. He graduated from University of Nigeria with a bachelor's degree in international relations. Onyeka is a published author. He actually writes articles, loads and loads of them. You can follow his Facebook page at Onyeka Chimele. And lastly, we totally actually condemn the Abuja police raid on women in our capital city of Nigeria. It's quite heartbreaking to know that in this our age and time, women are still being subjected to inhumane treatment based on what they choose to do as a profession. Yes, we're not ignorant of the fact that prostitution is legal, but even a thief is entitled, or even a thief actually has human rights that needs to be protected. And so we say no to, we totally criticize the actions of the policemen. Even going as far as raping these women is just barbaric and archaic. And so far, you can follow this discussion on with this hashtag Abuja police raid on women. And guys, thank you. So let's get right into it. Hi. So prostitution to me is, you know, having sex in exchange for money or goods or services and the likes of them. So what does prostitution mean to you?
More like you've done, that's the germane definition of it, but more like it, what I think prostitution is all about is when there is an exchange where your body is involved, because exchange is good for goods and services occur in business. So definitely the business in focus or in question is your body. So your body in exchange of anything is prostitution. Right? That's a very simple definition of it.
Okay, so basically there are different types of prostitution.
But you want me to stress that? You can prostitute with... Well, when you're talking of prostitution in different type, we're talking of the orientation behind it.
Okay.
Prostitute is a woman or a man, because we always, when we talk prostitute, people
we
have this
think thing, women,
there's
yeah,
no gender
female
consideration in it. Prostitute is when you have to use your body to sell a brand, to get the favor, to do to exchange one or two things for your own benefit.
So I was reading this article online yesterday, and they said that there are different types of prostitution. There is the institutional prostitution, there is the corporate prostitution, there's freelance, and then there is the other one which comes with human trafficking, child trafficking, and the rest of them. Now, institutionalized prostitution is basically, you know, the type that's being practiced in hotels and brothels and the rest of them, where these women or men, mostly women, actually pay or, you know, drop their contact details with hotels, with all these brothels. They pay or they rent a particular room, and clients come to them, get what they want, pay for it, and leave. So which one is, you know, and then the corporate one is where, you know, women have to, it happens in the corporate world where women or men have to sleep with their bosses or someone they want a contract for or anything just to get what they want. Yeah. And then you have the freelance one, which is mostly practiced in our universities, our tertiary institutions, where you just stay and, you know, especially through social media, people who need your services just contact you directly and leave, aka runs. So of all these three I've mentioned, let's remove, I don't want to go into the whole human trafficking part of it. It's quite really sensitive and very complex. So of these three, all three I've mentioned, which do you think it's what is being practiced today in a society in Nigeria?
Okay, thank you very much. I think what we practice more is the institutionalized
prostitution.
And first of all, I need to drop a background. It's the oldest profession.
Allegedly the oldest profession. Yes. Anyway. Everybody says
trying,
that.
What I'm trying to say is, it doesn't take anything to mobilize it, to start it. It's natural. It's something that has to do with giving care, quote unquote.
So, prostitutes give care?
Of course. They say there's a specific service they render.
Okay.
Our problem is, in India, it is various countries of the world, these are stabilized money making
venture.
They add to the gross domestic product of the country. Even here in Nigeria, we are just we have an over response to these things. These things, most of the people fighting against it make use of these care services. I am telling you, I you can quote me anywhere because I'm sharing it from a place of there's a level of experiential knowledge because I'm not saying we don't know about this or we're not in one way or the other, because at some point in my life we know where these things happen. In fact, some of us lost our virginity because of these specific care services. So we don't know what it was. We watch it in television and like, oh, let's see how it feels. And then there are services that mopped up. So I'm sharing thoughts on this because it's easy to paint it in bad light, but we know it's been here for a long while. And what is common with this geographical space is the institutionalized prostitution, where you have to go meet a service provider. I'm using core words because I don't want to demean them.
Yeah.
The whole essence of this interview is to make you understand that they should be accorded dignity, respect, because they are rendering a specific service. Some people are starved in their homes and they go somewhere. It's like the way you go get your shoes.
That's adultery, anyway. If you're saying that, that's adultery.
No, you're coming from the modest. They have a self. They are not committing adultery. They know what they're doing. They are trying to help your husband or your boyfriend.
No, I'm saying the man is committing adultery out if he's self-starved.
We're not coming from a morality point of view.
Okay.
So, with the little I've said, I think we should accord him more respect. And when we're talking of prostitution, I think the word itself, we've made it look like a derogatory word.
Yeah.
A prostitute is somebody who's giving something for something. And in every exchange in life, we give something for something.
This time around, the thing being sex.
Yes. So, in all business, why I'm stressing this is because in every facet of life, you need to part with something to get another thing. There's exchange, whether trade by barter or currency or whatever. So, it applies the same rule to what we are talking about today.
Okay, now, when people hear the word shower or prostitution, the first thing that comes to mind is the institutionalized prostitution. Now, but then there are other things like the corporate and the freelance. It provokes this thought rather about the fact that basically all of us, if you've at some point exchanged sex for gifts, for a position, for money, for whatever, it's going by the literal meaning of prostitution. You are a prostitute.
I think you just nailed it.
Both male and female. But now, due to the fact that, I don't know, maybe society or religion, when you hear the word prostitute, you feel, okay, these people are red light districts, you know, the women who are standing in front of a hotel or at Allen or the rest of them, you know, exchanging their bodies or their services for a little cash. And all of this is due to poverty, due to discrimination and the rest of them. Discrimination in the sense that, for example, a widow, you know, maybe a lady who lost her husband in late 20s or early 30s, and she's, you know, resigned to spending the rest of her life alone. Now, in the old days, she might be married off to her husband's brother or with her consent. You know, or she decides she wants to stay alone, she doesn't want to marry. I know that's done in Igbo land in the old days, or that was done in Igbo land. Now, nowadays, a woman is expected to stay. You know, you're a widow. If you're not, you know, if you don't find love again, where you remarry and all that, you're expected to stay. Just like that, religion, culture expects you to stay because this you're married to your husband, and even though religion says till death do us part, sometimes they don't respect that part of the vows. So a woman is expected to stay, and sometimes she feels like, oh, imagine being in your early 30s and you have to stay. No, sex is like a functional part of life.
Of course, I like that.
It's very important. So imagine you staying that way, and maybe you're going to live to like 89, and they expect you to stay from 30 to 89. That is 59 years of your life without anything.
It's even more than what you've stayed.
You will die. Exactly. So, in terms of mix.
Would you permit me to share a personal story?
Okay.
This is an interview, so I think I should. I had a mother. This is my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Who, at some point, due to one reason or the other, they weren't sleeping together anymore.
Okay.
This is not the situation. This is just a woman who was away from sex for a long time.
Yeah.
It had serious consequences on her personally, because there should be, you know, not just that the semen contain a lot of things, and then even the action in itself for reproduction purposes, well, even as your, because there's this, when the semen goes into the female body, there's just like, there's an impact, there's an effect it has on the body in itself. Sometimes it helps with the oxytocin, the excitement. That's why I see a woman after sex, there's this,
yeah, there's this glow, good sex, not just any kind of sex.
What I'm talking about, I'm just trying to impress the fact what you've just said initially, that it's something you need to do as often as possible.
Yeah, as I was saying, so you finish, and then somehow she's frustrated, and then she has to go out there to put herself out there, you know, to get sex, to, you know, find, you know, a man that would have sex with her, and all of that. It actually pushes her into transactional sex. And then poverty. Nigeria is not, economically we're not getting better. A lot of people, if there are over 100,000 prostitutes in Nigeria between the last 4 years and now, you have about 500,000. That number has extremely tripled. We have about all for the fact that when we say prostitution, because if we as humans at some point in our lives, we actually, going by the literal meaning of prostitution, we've actually exchanged sexual favors for something that we needed, you know, like, you know, give and take, trade by barter. Once you see that, you know, prostitution is something that we have to legalize.
Of course, like I said in my background speech, it's one of the oldest, in fact, this oldest practice, and I think, because of our moral standing in this part of the world, there's a reason why we're not legalizing it.
Okay.
It's not because, it's more like, the more you look, the less you see. At the back of the corner, at the back of the veil, we engage in these things. But because we are more like, we have moral stance to this subject, so we want Nigeria to be seen in the Committee of Nations as a country speaking against these things. Because prostitution is for health reasons, for one or more reasons, we don't want to do it. But we know that these things add to our gross domestic product. We know that they mop up ecstasies like rape and other sexual misdemeanor. They more like solve specific problems. So countries we have legalized, you know that this thing is important. Countries like India, you can, all the dignity and everything is accrued to you. And then, yes, I mean, the health grounds, you can go to the hospital, get checked the way it is. They give you what to do. They know you're a sex hooker, and they give you all the respect. There is no maligning or campaign of calumny against your personality. But here in Nigeria, that's why I said, well, I said it initially in one of my social media rants. I said, let's legalize these things. Let's give them a space. Let's allow them thrive, because they are solving problems. Most of them remit money for taxes. Most of them do these things that every other businesses do. So why are we against them? It should be legalized.
Okay. Due to, we are both avid social media users, and it's the whole Abuja police raid on women. It's not, you know, it's not something that is strange to both of us. And I find it, I know I spoke against it, and I said that it's quite heartbreaking that women are being treated based on their choice of profession. Human rights are being taken away from them and the rest of them. But then, reading more on it and reading about countries where prostitution has been legalized, I think that is, it actually has pros, but the cons have actually outweighed the pro, whereby women are actually prone to much more danger. Women are actually prone to exploitation and the rest of them. So if prostitution is legalized in Nigeria today, what do you think it will be the pros to the Nigerian society, to the economy, to women in general?
Okay, I'm going to take my time to explain this. First of all, as a prostitute, what is the predominant role you're serving? You're giving care. At the end of... No, sorry, I'll be very euphemistic with words, but yep. I'll be specific. You're giving care. When we have lots of these people in place, in fact, where they have better living conditions and better service providing atmosphere, mm-hmm. you will find out that they will mop up a lot of course, zero rape cases, because you can get this as cheap as possible. Secondly, where the government supports a medium or a service, they give it all it takes. So the risk where people tell you about the health risk is minimized, because often and on they are taken to places where they go get free care, because getting free care on their own is expensive. That is why most of them
do argue that prostitutes take care of themselves
better. I tell you, I'm not saying it because I would not look you in the face and say we don't know about this thing. Sometime I had a friend, very clean. I mean, we didn't even know it was going on, and some of us were going as if she was our classmate at the time, and until when we found out. So when we found out, doesn't mean we've not patronized her. We have had. So what am I trying to say? I'm coming from this in a very personal respect. We have had these things. So the problem here is we think the gainful part of it, because that's what you asked me. So what is in it for us? If we encourage these people, it's going to create a situation whereby there will be less sexual misdemeanor in the country. Then secondly, it's going to give them that esteem. See, it's a profession, like your doctor. Your doctor gives you care and you get well. So when they handle you and you get well, you come share testimony. What am I trying to say? When they solve your problems, because it's all over the place, and we all know, as we are all different racially, structurally and all, you can meet somebody who have seen cases where you get married.
Yeah,
so they when they solve your problems, you have more people talking about, I made use of that. Of course, they are in different locations. You can try that. So it becomes the way you reference your hospitals, and you reference brothels, you reference point. So I might not be making so much sense to you because it's not in operation right now. But I am telling you how you can move away from where we are right now. We have so much hate for these people. But then, it doesn't make sense that we make use of them illegally. So why not see how it is when you give them a free room to roam? Let them operate openly, you know? Of course, we know there are apps where some of these people do it in a very posh way. It doesn't change the fact that they are still what they are, caregivers. Prostitutes. So when we look at them in so much disdain, maybe that is the reason why countries away from Africa, continents away, are doing better than us, because they've been able to liberalize these things. They've been able to tap into it, because they add, in fact, as a matter of fact, they add more money directly to the economy. The prostitutes don't have to, I mean, it's easy to mobilize, you don't have to get some kind of capital elsewhere. Get young people, they are okay, they're sexually active. They're having fun while they play. The best kind of work you can have is where your passion, you're playing and you're working at the same time. Tell me what it is. It's going to even have ricochet effect on the economy.
Let's look at the cons, where prostitution is exploitation of women, exploitation of who they are as human beings and the rest of them. And most feminists argue that legalizing it, even though human rights agency like Amnesty International, the United Nations, and the rest of them have all come out to say, oh, let's legalize prostitution because of this is what it will do. It will end child trafficking, it will end organized crime. Yeah, due to the fact that it's legal, a lot of people have become, they've turned the whole prostitution thing into an evil stuff, you know. So the cons of it, which includes exploitation of women and the fact that it actually encourages violence against women, because if I'm paying you for a service, I expect that, I don't expect anything lower. I can actually, if it's legal, I pay you, or maybe you're charging me per hour, or I pay you for 3 hours, and you don't satisfy me, you only give me 1 hour of your time, I can take you to police station. And then I'm sure there are some other things where, you know, clients will want to show that they have rights over, especially male clients over women, that, oh, I am paying you to do this, you work for me. Or you're supposed to render this service to me. I'm your customer, you're supposed to do this
can
to
I,
me.
So can I interject?
Yeah.
Like every businesses, there are always shortcomings.
Okay.
Same applies here. The point is they must find a way to bring out certain things that would cover their rights as sexual practitioners.
Okay.
So when you understand your job, you bring out, it might even be a questionnaire to streamline what you're getting, so they know this is what you do. I don't do oral sex, I don't do BDSM, I don't do this. You're not trying to specifically state
the kind
this
of
things can
offer.
Curb what you're talking about, because now you know they are applying to certain services, so
okay.
You're exclusive. I don't do these things, and if you want these things, it comes with more money. So these are well stated, right? Like, so I'm trying to puncture the fact, it's like every other business, there's always a bad day. So the bad day is when people take advantage of you because you're maybe your gender, and then they want to tell you to no. But what I'm saying is they can also protect their rights. That is what some of them do know. They have a very level, a high level of low self-esteem.
Yes.
So while they do the job, they don't understand that they also have a power. It's a service.
No, but they won't understand that they have powers because they are operating under an illegal terrain.
Yes.
This stuff is illegal. So even when they are raped, they are abused, and the rest of them, they cannot go to the police station to say, oh, I'm a prostitute, this man raped me because I wouldn't want to have sex with
that
you.
That is what we are talking about. I'm saying because we operate in that, we're not giving it all of the enablement it should get. That is why it's having such offshoots as the above, as what you captured just now. When you encourage a system, the introduction of things like what I've just stated right now, where their interest is covered, they don't have mad people coming in as clients. You have a thorough understanding of what you're going to get. She knows what she's going to give you. So there is no kind of shortchange in the exercise. They are respected because they are. But you feel a form. When you feel a form to something, I don't think you get where I'm coming from. So because we are
contractual agreement.
Yes, we are operating in the lowest level of things, and then it's a backroom business. A lot of anomalies will come up from that kind of arrangement.
Okay, that's fair. Now, we're looking at, let's narrow it down to Nigeria, and then the recent happening, the whole Abuja thing. I find it hard to believe that people, just because they're sex workers, are not, you know, they have their human rights trampled upon. And it's actually a far cry from where we are supposed to be as a nation. It's like every day we're going backwards. Fine, do not legalize it, no problem. If you catch them, let it be that you cannot say, okay, something is illegal, prostitution is illegal. Prostitution is legal means the person offering the service and the person coming to buy, because I'm sure if they go to raid drug rings, they arrest both people that came to buy cocaine and people that are selling the cocaine, but everybody broke the law together. But then you go down to Abuja, they go down there and they arrest people that are, to them, allegedly prostitutes. What about the men that come to, you know, that have come to collect, patronize them, you know, get the services? What about them? How are they working scot-free? And then you take these women to jail, unlawfully detain them, and then you go as far as raping them just because they are prostitutes.
That is what I'm saying. Yeah? Another thing is, because the system is operating in the lowest backroom business, like I said, their FHR, their fundamental human rights, is compromised.
Okay.
So it's not like they don't even see them as people who should have it. Whether you're a prostitute or not, your fundamental human rights privileges stay untouched. The right to live, the right to associate, for association,
right to expression,
all of these things, association and all the rest. So they have an association, they are prostitutes, but definitely they have things they do together
Nigerian
to help. So it's a terror, when it is an abuse on the part of our security institution to single them out such that they take advantage of them much later. I think the question you asked me is, I think I've lost it. You're asking me, why do they have to concentrate on the prostitute and then
the females and leave the males? It's
simple. Our system have, there are cogs in the wheel of our system in operation.
Okay.
And sometimes they also look for the cheaper devils, they are the ones that are easy to get. The people who patronize them come and go. They're elusive. Most of them have structures. Most of them are easy to get. So sometimes, like I tell you, our security personnel are not, they don't have the time to do all of those nitty gritty of going to, they want to get what they can they grab now and get something from it. If they cannot get money from you, we'll take advantage of you. That is even where because the psyche to take advantage of a woman is in itself not normal. So which means we have the wrong set of people, even in our security details and the police. So because for you to see somebody and then you can't get money, and then you even process in your head that you can, this is what you sell now, you should be able to give it to me, but it means that there's even a damage in the conscription of people who should safeguard lives and property in this nation. So it's a case of two evils. We have to now go back to, if you want to talk of solution, we'll go back to awareness. Yes, we have to begin to get in the right people who have good, thorough knowledge of what they are doing, which means they are abusing their offices. They don't even understand what they are actually doing, because every human being is you have that inalienable rights that shouldn't be tampered by all. So when it comes to a point, except you're committing, and again, when the security persons take you away, you must have been doing something illegal.
Yeah.
Now, illegal in inverted comma, because if it's what something is illegal when it has direct impact on or causing harm to somebody.
Yeah.
And in this case, it is two consenting adults most often than not.
Yeah.
So if two consenting adults want to have sex, you're the one calling it whatever you're calling, because at that point, if you're coming from what are you doing with her, what they are both wanting to do this, there's no law negating them from having sex. So you are the one who put a term on it. If they want to take you to court, it is their word against you. So I'm trying to demystify where we have a problem. If it is a brothel, if it's a hotel that they bust in to get people, that is a different kettle of fish. You can't go there without a warrant. Then there must be reason, there must be something where you can't come and say you're looking out for prostitutes. There are no prostitutes in Nigeria, if I must tell you, if we go by that context. But the thing is, we know we enjoy these things. Like I said, I'm being real with you. We enjoy these things, but we don't want to be seen as people. It's like a situation whereby a dog eats shit and doesn't want it to be in his mouth. They know the people who do these things, and they know that they don't have the money, but they have positions, so we can abuse them. So because I don't have the money, the government don't pay us well, but that doesn't mean we won't enjoy it. But they try to use, it's still the same rot in the system, so try to take advantage of these women. So I think if you get, what I'm trying to say here is, the people who are in charge of even safeguarding lives and property are compromised themselves. They have a functional.
Yeah, because actually, after arresting these women, they went ahead to rape them.
Like, that is a very big.
And then this man, I don't know what his problem. I don't. Everything about him is barbaric. Is archaic. Is what's his name? Yomi Shogunle or something. He came out. You're a representative of the police, and you're coming out. Girls are telling you that they are being raped for being prostitutes. And some of them have said, I'm not a prostitute, I was just at a bar drinking.
I watched one, there was a clip on Instagram this morning.
And then came and carried us. And some of them, this particular girl actually said that the policeman told them that they would either pay 5,000 naira for he let them go, or they would sleep with him. not just him and his colleagues. And one other girl actually said that the policeman, just because there was no condom available, he used this pure water sachet to have sex. That you actually raped her, because that was not consensual sex.
Exactly, because she already wasn't engaging, because there was no, she has a rules of engagement. Rules, yes, of engagement is get a condom. So if you're not using a condom and you're using your power to victimize, you already, rape is when I don't want it and you are having it. That's,
yes,
what it is.
You've taken it without my consent. And this man went ahead to quote, you know what, from all that we've discussed, I think we look at this whole prostitution thing from a moral ground. Not, we don't look at it logically. We're looking at it from religion and from culture. You know, we live in a very conservative society, or we like to think we're conservative.
Well, that's
in Nigeria, but we're just lying to ourselves. We're quite hypocritical people and the rest of them. So right now, this first end this podcast session, would you, okay, basically all you've said is that prostitution should be legalized, it should,
yes,
become a profession,
yes, where people
just
can freely engage,
okay,
freely show interest in carrying out the services without any form of vindictiveness, where they can go into it like the way they want to go and get a job somewhere else. Yes, because at the end of the day, they are solving a specific, these are my reasons, they're solving a specific purpose.
Okay.
And secondly, they are not doing it because some people find passion in a lot of things. We have, it's not because it's Nigeria. There are Kardashians who are smiling to the bank elsewhere, serving the same purpose.
You will not disrespect my Kim
family.
I am
not,
not prostitutes.
No, the point I'm trying to make is they are still making people happy. I think that's going to make you more.
No!
They are making people happy. People like nudity sells, I tell you.
Okay,
yeah,
now
so,
you've used that nudity sense. Yes, they've,
yeah,
so, all been nude at some point in their lives and graced magazine covers and the rest of them. But they are not
to the bank. So what happened is,
literally,
do you know how much they've been, that move alone has made whatever country they're in richer in figures.
Yeah.
So Nigeria should look at the bigger scale. When you do this, what do you get? You have, if the pros, if the pros outweigh the cons, you go for it. Most people say, okay, on health ground, most times if you see the logic from it, they tell you HIV, health, and all. This is a century where a lot, there's been increase in
a lot of things, yeah.
Yes, so you can't still keep calling health ground. Even at that, I told you people still engage, so who are we deceiving? All I'm just saying is, let's tear down the veil and let's make it a structure that will stand on its own.
Yeah,
and when young women want to go, and then let's support them. Because when you support something, you can curb the excesses from it. There will be no rape, which is what is happening. There will be no much violence. Because all these many sexual violence cases you see are repressed minds. People who can't get these things. The other day in on the news, we heard of a young man who went to, he was asking a girl out. She doesn't want to engage.
Mm.
He raped her at gunpoint, and then wanted to do the time. That's some level of insanity. If he knows that there are lots of beautiful women at different designated areas who would give you the services, I mean, you're a man, you pay for these things and you work hard to, you have a fine, I mean, I don't think you were engaged in that level, because what we have now is a lot of people who can't get what they want, and so they feel people getting these things are not, they don't have to hear. Okay, let's do it any way we can. Create a situation whereby you can mop up all these problems, and I think it's going to be a better country. Yeah.
Okay, it was really nice having this conversation, this discourse with you,
yeah,
Onyeka.
My pleasure.
And guys, Onyeka is an author. Like I said earlier, he has this book out, Igweship in Over Kingdom. It's he wrote about the, you know, monarchical structure that has existed centuries before colonialism and the rights, and what entails today in his community in Oba and Anambra State of Nigeria. You can actually follow his social media handles on especially Facebook. Facebook is his second home.
Yeah.
So you can follow his Facebook at Onyeka Chiemele. He has loads and loads of articles, interesting. He speaks, he writes rather, on various topics ranging from politics to religion to sex to whatever it is. It's quite he has very good, his writing prowess actually amazes me. Do thank you for coming, guys. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Do not forget that our social media handles, oh, now we actually have a Facebook page at The Oge Show on Facebook, and our Instagram and Twitter is still at The Oge Show. You can actually join the conversation with The Oge Show podcast hashtag. So until next week, Friday, bye for now.